Did your parents talk about money?
I learned really early on that money creates opportunities. Like, I saw that. I was my mum's only child, and not only because was there kind of just more disposable income in the house because of that, there was also more time. On my dad's side, I'm one of five. You know, he's a truck driver working like 80 hours a week, trying to make ends meet. It was really difficult. And then time was really hard, you know, like you'd go to work at 4 a.m., come back, I don't know, maybe 4 p.m. And then, like, yeah, there just wasn't much time even in the house, you know, there's just heaps of stuff to do. And also, like, not much money. I saw the opportunities I had on the other side. That's where I probably learned, oh, money creates opportunities.
Introducing Brooke Roberts, one of the CEOs of Sharesies, the online investment platform that's making investing easy and accessible for everyone. Sharesies has already helped over 600,000 investors in New Zealand and Australia get started on their investment journey, and it's not slowing down anytime soon.
How was the initial response?
Yeah, overwhelming, eh? We put a website up, like, to do, or like, we kind of played with different ways of trying to communicate what we were doing. We were like, sign up for our beta, you know, or like the wait list. Yes. And we saw, you know, over 6,000 people sign up.
Did you have a product?
No product at this point, we're building it, you know. We also had a great team, I think, that really gave a lot of people confidence that we would be able to execute this. And a couple of months later, we had the product live.
This is the Fresh Money Podcast.
74% of Pasifika, 56% of Māori feel unconfident or unsure when making financial decisions. This podcast is all about opening up the conversation of money and to help everyone get better at it. So if you can please like and subscribe, it's our promise to interview more people who can help and inspire you to become better with money. Please note that this podcast does not constitute financial advice. If you are needing financial advice, please consult a professional or get in touch and we can point you in the right direction. Talofalava Brooke, welcome to the Fresh Money Podcast, where we talk about all things money. How are you?
Yeah, good. Kia te pai.
Awesome, awesome. Did you just get back from the States? Is that right?
Yeah, I did actually. I was in New York last week, and it was the first time I'd been back for since I was 16 years old.
Cool. I'd seen some pics in front of the, or at the desk of the New York Stock Exchange. Yeah. What was that like? That would have been cool.
Yeah, it was really cool, eh? Like, it was also kind of underwhelming in a weird way. Like, you know, it's kind of hard to get in. You have to go through security, and they, you know, it's quite, you know, oh, what are you going into? And then you just walk through quite, like, white hallways, and then you go up these kind of stairs or escalator, and then you go to this one floor, and I thought it'd be just massive, right? You know, when you see people ringing the bell, you think it's a whole floor in itself. It's a little podium, and like, it's mostly computer screens. There's probably, I don't know, maybe 90 people in there. And it was just quite different to what I maybe thought would kind of be the hectic vibe. But I also loved it too. Like, I love seeing behind the scenes of how it all works. But yeah, mostly it's trading and online now. So
interesting.
Yeah, it was
it's
quite
random
interesting.
Because you see it, what it used to show on TV and business news, all these people just looking at screens, waving their hands around, shouting into phones and stuff like that.
Yeah, so not too much of that. We did see a little bit of it, though. Okay. There's a little bit of, we got a good moment, I think, of a few shouts and banter amongst the traders to each other, and they're like, don't worry, we're all friends. But yeah, it was really interesting to see, like, something that felt really grand and massive, and then you go there and it's actually quite quaint.
Cool. And one of your posts on LinkedIn, that could have been a career path?
Yeah, it could have been, I guess. I studied finance, and when I was studying, people were saying that women make really good traders and, you know, I should get into trading. And, you know, I toyed with the idea for a couple of seconds and I was like, oh, probably not for me. And then seeing that today, that last week probably was like, oh, you know, I'm glad I chose the career I did.
Nice. Yeah. So you're on the podcast today. You're the CEO
or CEO
of Sharesies.
Yeah.
I want to get into Sharesies.
Nice.
But just tell me a bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
So I am started in Manurewa, and that's where my dad and my nana are. Grew up there in my early years, and then I went to Mount Maunganui and then Tauranga, and
oh, nice.
kind of the Wot's Tauranga in this place called Te Puna, and grew up there.
Oh, yeah. And that's
then,
north.
Yeah. And then when I was 10, my mum moved to America, and I moved with her. So I went from this like little school of 70 kids to like this massive school in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh wow!
With 2000, and that was really interesting. And on my mum's side, I'm my only child, and on my dad's side, I'm one of five. So had quite different kind of opportunities and life situations because of the differences there. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did your parents talk about money and investing growing up, or did the interest, was it that early, interest in money and finance?
I learned really early on that money creates opportunities. Like, I saw that. Like, I was my mum's only child, and not only because was there kind of just more disposable income in the house because of that, there was also more time in a way. Okay. And then on my dad's side, I'm one of five. You know, he's a truck driver working like 80 hours a week, trying to make ends meet, and it was really difficult. And then time was really hard, you know, like he'd go to work at 4 a.m., come back, you know, just, I don't know, maybe 4 p.m. And then there just wasn't much time even in the house, you know, there's just heaps of stuff to do. Also like not much money. So I think I saw the opportunities I had on the other side of like being able to go to athletics and things like that. And always kind of wanted to see how I could. Yeah, I think that's where I probably learned, money creates opportunities.
Cool. Yeah. Whereabouts did you do schooling? And your kind of high school years.
Oh, yeah. So in high school, I was about to go to high school in America, and I asked my mum if I could come back to New Zealand, and I went to Howard College a little bit with my dad, and then I got a scholarship to go to a boarding school called Woodford, which was an awesome opportunity to be able to get that scholarship to go there.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
I'd seen a video of you speaking there, actually.
Oh, yeah, I was pretty happy too. I was quite pregnant at the time. Yeah.
I hear that you could have been Brooke the fashion designer.
Yeah, I could have been. Brooke Anderson. Watch for that logo to come. Yeah. No, yeah, I thought that was what I was going to do. I've always had a hectic amount of energy, and I didn't really know where to put it. And so because of that, schooling was a little bit rough. Like, I was on daily report growing up. I had to come home with my score out of 5 and the teacher's comments and my mum signing my little 3B1 notebook, good times. But it was at Woodford, actually, which was a really cool opportunity where I got exposure to being able to, like, channel that energy, and I had a few teachers who maybe showed the interest to kind of really support me in that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought, sewing somehow ended up being good at that. And I was like, maybe I'll do this. You know, this is. And then I went and I entered some fashion awards with the outfits I made. And then I met other designers. And I was like, they're amazing. They're way better than me. But maybe what I can do is help commercialize their designs. Because I kind of had this knack for business for some reason. And then I thought, okay, well, I'll go into like the commercial side of and help creatives like bring their vision to life.
Awesome.
I thought I'd do that. And then, here I am. I don't know.
And like magic, you're in finance.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But also in the tech, and it is a real creative industry what we're in. You know, I do really like that marriage of like how you create, share opportunities and connect with people, you know?
How did it change from finance, from fashion to finance?
Yeah, well, at that time there wasn't a fashion business degree, which there was one coming a year after, so there wasn't the kind of opportunity to study that. I probably would have probably at that time. So I went to Vic and Victoria University, and I studied marketing and social business.
Oh, cool.
And then in my third year of studying marketing, I was like, my degree's lacking something for me. Like, I wanted something else. And in a lecture, we had this guest lecture, and there's 300 of us in the room, and they said, put your hand up if you like numbers. And out of 300, three of us did. And I was like, maybe I should do something with this. So I picked up finance, and really glad I did, because I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed learning about it and just figuring out how this whole world works and the economy and... Yeah, and then I learned a lot about what I didn't know and what my family didn't know, or, you know, and you're just wow, it'd be really cool to change that.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah.
And when did Shazies come into the frame? Was that straight after uni, or did you go?
No. So I worked at KiwiBank and at Xero and had really cool opportunities there. they're really growth companies when I was there too. Mm. So there's just so much opportunity to just create the new, which I really enjoyed.
Awesome.
And then Sharesies came about, Leighton, myself, Richard and Martin were looking at starting a business, and Sonia and Ben also were too. And
when did you meet them? And was that through
It's really interconnected in a weird way, but Sonia was working at Kiwi Bank, and she used to work at Xero. And we never worked together, but obviously we worked at the same places, so people were like, you don't know each other? But to cut a long story short, Sonia told Leighton about her idea of like making investing more accessible.
Mm.
And Leighton, when he was 17 years old, started an investment club with 14 of his mates in Harwira. And she was like, you know, and then we're like, maybe there's something we could do here. Well, it's amazing what they've been able to invest in. They continue to do that just from having that kind of peer pressure amongst each other. And, you know, their first thing was a cow that they purchased, you know, they'd invest, you know, saved enough in a savings account. So it was kind of hard to invest back then, you know. And now that, you know, it's still going and going strong today. But it's like, it would show the possibility of you could be an investor. But, you know, you don't want to have, you know, there's other ways of doing it than being Leighton's mate, I guess. So we tried to find, with the technology available today, why can't someone with $5 and $5 million have the same money opportunities?
Yeah.
And
that's crazy. That set
the six of us on our path to create Sharesies. Yeah.
What gave you the confidence to get out and do something as because it's at the time it was super difficult.
Yeah.
Like you had to have, you know, my career going through the banks, you had to have a minimum amount of money to be able to invest.
Yeah. I'd done Young Enterprise, and that's like a system you can do at school where you can start a business and learn about how to start a business when you're in high school. And I think that, you know, I learn a lot about being brave through that naivety. You're like, you don't know what you don't know, but you're like, well, I just want to get this to here. You don't know the jargon. You don't need to know the jargon. It's just like... Yeah, but I learned a lot through that, and I knew that I would always go back to creating something. Like that always felt like that's where my energy should go.
Awesome.
And then with Sharesies, what gave us the, you know, we had careers, I guess, you know, what gave us the impetus or the reason to quit our jobs and go all in was actually we spent 6 months doing pure research, just talking to people, going. And people really opened up and were really vulnerable to us about how they felt about money and what they, you know, how they earned their money and if they were an investor and why they weren't, or, you know, really learn a lot about people and their relationship with money, really. And from that and from everybody's stories, it really felt like the risk of not doing it felt greater than doing it. Like we were armed with this knowledge of like how people were feeling and the, like even their feeling towards being able to have a future or what they looked like, you know, and then we're also armed with a bit of insight in terms of from working in finance and in banking in terms of, well, there's actually all this stuff we know now that a lot more people need to have access to. But we also had no idea how to solve it at that point. But we knew that there was a massive problem and a massive opportunity and that we knew enough in our naivety, I guess, to find a way or to feel confident in that. And so, we just quit our jobs and went all in.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you have the confidence to quit something that is, for a lot of people, see a sense of security and, you know, salary coming in every fortnight? Did you plan that or did you just...
No.
I mean, like, did you save up a buffer or you just went in?
Well, we also were getting married and then got pregnant. So it was like a very expensive time and also, didn't really have much backup. But what we gave ourselves was 3 months. We're like,
cool.
We can give ourselves 3 months to be able to build this product and like create, you know, something in this really regulated world. And we also gave us 3 months to be able to raise money so that we could continue and, you know, because you need money to be able to create these kind of things. And
totally.
So, we were kind of time bound and we were in this incubator, which is where businesses can go for 3 months to kind of get started, which was cool. So we had a place to work and, we just gave ourselves 3 months to run as fast as we could.
Awesome. So how was the initial response from when you first put out the... Come and subscribe or come and check out what we're doing here.
Overwhelming, eh? We put a website up and we like to do, or like we kind of played with different ways of trying to communicate what we were doing. And we learned that through talking with people, like, oh, people using these words, maybe this will resonate, you know. We're trying to figure out like how do you communicate investing and make it like something people want to do when they don't, you know, when there's so much we don't know about it and it can feel quite overwhelming, and we wanted to just make it feel really simple. So we learned a lot from our conversations with people.
Cool.
And then we had a website, and on that we started to see, we were like, sign up for our beta, you know, or like the wait list. Yes. And we saw, you know, over 6,000 people sign up. And we hadn't even really, you know, we hadn't put any marketing money behind it or anything like that.
Did you have a product?
No product at this point. We're building it, you know.
That's awesome.
But it was like, it was, but this is a way to show that demand, that, you know, prove to investors validation, that this is worth investing in.
Great.
Also had a great team, I think, that really gave a lot of people confidence that we would be able to execute this. And and a couple of months later, we had the product live.
Awesome.
Shazzy's live,
How did you go with fundraising? Did you have to get money straight away, or did you use your own money?
Well, I mean, it was all in pretty much anyway, and in some ways, and we had debt and things, so that wasn't the fun, you know, like it was like pulls, you know, money to pull on. So we did need to raise money, and we raised money through a convertible note where people kind of essentially lend you money, and then at the next time you raise, it can turn into shares in the company.
Great.
And yeah, we were fortunate enough to be able to raise some money to help us continue and grow. And, you know, given we operate in quite a regulated industry, it costs quite a lot of money to be able to get the system set up and then also the kind of dealing with the, you know, lawyers and accountants and everything to make sure
that it was so all chickety boo, compliance, which is good. And legal stuff you had to do.
Yeah.
Awesome. And in terms of staff, did you hire staff straight away?
Yeah, so our first hire was a legal counsel, because we knew we needed, you know, that skill set in-house, and also somebody to help us with our customer, like our investor care, because we, at that time, we used to send out, you know, someone would give us their address and then we'd send them this magic code and then they would put that into this, you know, into their Shazzy's web app at that time. Now we've got mobile apps. But, you know, that we used to have that process. We don't anymore. But, you know, we needed somebody. We're like, we've got way too many letters and stuff here, and we've got, like, you know, customer queries. And so Sonia's cousin came and helped us out. And, she stayed on for quite a long time, actually.
Cool. And how many staff do you have now?
So now we have 160 or so of us.
Yeah, wow.
Across Australia and New Zealand. Oh,
awesome. And are you still involved in that hiring process?
Yeah, I think we approve like kind of every role and things like that, and then do get involved in the interviews and from time to time. But often, like, you know, we've got such incredible people, which is they're so good at picking and and keen to, it's, people are something I stay really close to. Like, we know everybody at Shazzy's and know everything about them, you know, when I meet with people, you know, like,
awesome.
And it's probably kind of freaky to them. Like, how do you know all of this, you know?
It's really
important, yeah.
It keeps the culture that you're building.
Yeah, I think it's important to know, you know, like, people.
Oh, absolutely. And what do you look for when you're hiring? What qualities?
Yeah, I think,
obviously, there's a technical stuff that they need to be able to do the role. But
so much of it is in the alignment to why we do what we do. You know, if people really care about creating, you know, financial empowerment for everyone, and you really sense it, and you can, you know, they've had experiences where they've wanted that, or, you know, like a real deep connection to it, that's the most crucial, because it really drives somebody to think differently, to chase remarkable, as we call it in one of our values, to put a lot of care into what they do, and have this really kind of in it together philosophy, which is another one of our values, where we really want to be a place where, you know, I get to sit here with you today and talk about Shazzy's, not because of all the work, or, you know, Mahi, I've done, it's everybody else, you know, like, too, you know, like, I'm sitting here with 160, you know, and everything they're doing that's helped make Shazzy's what it is today. And so looking for people with those kind of ways of thinking is probably the most important. But also, like, it is really hard work. Like, when you are taking really complex systems and making it real, and I think and making it really simple and easy for people, and I I think initially we kind of underestimated telling people that, but it is really hard work, like, really rewarding at the same time, you know? So people who are kind of up for that, up for the problem solving and thinking differently.
That's great.
Yeah.
What's the, you know, it is hard. What's the biggest challenge that you guys, or that you've faced as, as a CEO, co-CEO, and as Sharesies as a business?
I think, you know, I've learned business is like a roller coaster, you know, and I used to really ride the, you know, like ride it, you know, I was just like, oh my, oh, you know, like I really feel it, you know,
I'm sad today.
It could all be within an hour, you know. And I think I've learned how to kind of manage that a bit more within myself and actually set up really good systems and
How do you do that?
I'd say I've gotten better at it in the last year and a half in terms of like prioritizing exercising, like running, and I've recently got into surfing and I really enjoy that.
Nice.
And I think just having those moments where you're not really thinking about anything else or giving yourself time to think, especially with, you know, children in the house, like I think that's really important, and so getting into that habit has been really helpful for me, and also to manage my energy and how I show up, I think. And then I think we've been able to like hire really remarkable people that you just really trust and can really, you know, help support you in a lot of ways. Awesome. And then also other founders have, you know, other people who are going through this. Sometimes you realize, oh, it's not us, it's the economy, or it's not, it's not, everybody's dealing with this, you know, when you talk with other business owners.
Sure.
And so having a community of other business owners can kind of call on and support each other has been really helpful.
Yep.
And more helpful than I guess words can describe,
Awesome. Yeah, because it can feel, you can feel, if you get inside your own head, you can feel lonely and like, oh, this is only happening.
Or am I doing it wrong?
They look good. Yeah. Wow, I'm so sure. They look like they're winning.
And I think we're really fortunate with having six founders, and there's three of us that are, you know, share the CEO seat.
Cool.
And it means like there's always a shared consciousness. Like,
yeah, that's great.
It's not all on me. It's not all on, you know, and I think there should be kind of more systems like that, because I actually think it enables us to move way faster, way smarter, because you've got like, you know, other brains on some of the problems. And we're just able to serve our people way better, I think.
Awesome. Yeah. In terms of the three-year, how do you make key decisions in the business with that type of setup?
It's quite interesting, So we've had the 3EO structure in place for at least 3 years now.
Cool.
And when we first rolled it out, we trialed it for 6 months. And all of the things thought that would go wrong really didn't. Like, thought, you know, people won't know who to make the decision or, you know, those kind of things. It, you know, through the feedback, we got feedback from the whole team and everyone who had kind of interacted with us and the board. And it really actually, you could really see the power in it. There are moments, I'm sure, where it's like, oh, who makes the decision here? But ultimately,
who do I go to get my decision?
Ultimately, how it works is that that responsibility is on Layden, Sonia, and I.
Okay.
So if someone comes to Layden or Sonia about something, or me, right? I know, I'll go, yep, I know enough to make this decision.
Okay.
Or I know that Layden and Sonia would be supportive of me making the decision, so I will. Other times, I'm like, oh, this feels like Sonia will really care about this, so I'm going to loop her in.
Yep.
Or actually, I'm going to tell her she can make the decision, whatever it might be.
Oh, nice.
Or actually, this is really important. We, all three of us, need to come together, or maybe the board does to help make decision. But we're really fast at doing that. Like, we're in constant communication. And then if I make a decision, it's my responsibility to make sure Layden and Sonia know, not the person who, you know, needed that support. So you don't have to go around and like, you know, do politics with us all. Like, you know, it's just not that at all. And I never want it to be. It's like, we're not a place where there's, you know, politics play out.
How hard is it to raise a family and build a business like this?
Well, honestly, I don't know any different. It's like all I've done. So like, it's quite hard to know what else. But when I talk to my friends, like, even if they're working for someone else, or they're, you know, working for their family, essentially, like, I I don't see much difference. It is just really hard. Like, yeah, it is really hard to juggle in the first years. I think so lucky to have grandparent support.
Awesome.
That has been phenomenal for us. Like, my mum, you know, I was able to go to New York because she was with the kids, and I grew up a lot with my grandparents and I loved that and really cherished it. So I'm really thankful that my kids
get
that.
So they're around you in Wellington?
Yeah, my mum is. Okay. And my dad, he's in Manurewa, but he will come and support whenever needed to. Awesome. Like, he's really family orientated, and that's been really helpful. But it's hard. It's getting easier, I think, now, ever since my youngest was over three. Like, I've started to feel like, oh, I can get a bit of myself back, like, exercising. And, I feel like my brain's back a bit more, you know? Like, maybe they're sleeping better. He just didn't sleep. He still doesn't sometimes, you know? And I think all of that. But it's really rewarding but really challenging. Mm. And I think that's just universal no matter what role you're doing.
In terms of being, like, responsible for the business, and then balancing the family, do you feel like you sacrifice time with family?
No. And, look, I don't know. I don't know if I'll reflect and think I do. Mm. But I think that is something I'm really fortunate with, having started Sharesies and started family at the same time and not knowing any different. It's like, well, I know they're really important. They're the most important. Like, family comes first. And I've always had that with my brothers and sisters. And, like, you know, like, it's that is just not negotiable. And so, and I think living in Pōneke, like, I'm only ever 15 minutes away from them.
Nice.
You know, so I made one mistake where I didn't go to something at, well, my child's kindy anyway, and I didn't realise that they were doing a performance. I had no idea, and I was really gutted, and I was like, I'm never doing that again, you know, so I show up, you know, like, I want to be there, and I think it's important that they know I'm there and that I support them, and I hope I've, you know, sometimes there's balance, sometimes there's not. It's all kind of a blur, really.
Yep.
I think they're both really integrated in my life, I guess. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
I hope so. I hope I reflect. You never know, you know? It's what are their perceptions of it too. But
true.
I'm doing the best I can.
Own reflection, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Yeah. We had Naomi Ballantyne, who's the founder of Partners Life Insurance, sold for $1 billion.
Yes,
you do.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her about the responsibility of being an entrepreneur, starting a business, having that responsibility of people and salaries and fundraising and investors. Does that pressure, or do you see that as pressure, or does that weigh on you as an entrepreneur?
Holistically, no, like, it doesn't really, because more like the opportunity, like, cool, let's go, you know, like, I think I've always looked at more the opportunity side.
Cool.
And saying that there have been times where you're just like, oh, okay, you know, if I got this right, or, you know, we make the decisions for all of those, you know, we make sure we, you know, we think about all of our stakeholders when we make decisions, you know, our people, the community we work in, our customers, you know, you've got to make sure that, like, you're making quite well-rounded decisions, but, or you think, you know, in the future with all of them in mind. But early on, I was asked that question too, and I never feel it as a sense of weight. It's like it's a massive privilege and an honour, and like awesome. Just want to make sure I'm creating heaps of value for everyone around us.
Very cool. Yeah, the All Blacks just describe it as pressure is a privilege. How much money, people's money, do you have that you guys invest?
So there's over $3 billion invested through Sharesies at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And there's about $5 to $6 billion traded throughout a given year. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's growing, yeah.
What does that translate to into customers? How many customers?
So we've got 660,000 people who sign up to Sharesies.
Awesome. Do you know how many are Pacifica or Māori?
I actually don't, because we made a conscious decision early on in Sharesies to not ask any questions that we didn't have to know the answer to. Yeah. So we don't ask gender, we don't ask, you know, like, ethnicity or anything.
Yeah, cool.
And I have toyed with that a few times, you know, like, should we or shouldn't we? And we've done some surveys, but we can do guesstimates based on locations and the census data and things like that. And from those kind of guesstimates, we do see that we track proportionately or very close to proportionately to the population, so close to the proportionate population of Māori Pacifica. But I don't have the hard facts.
Yeah, that's cool.
And same with gender too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, Sharesies, like I feel like you guys give a lot to the financial services kind of ecosystem, and like you guys create a lot of content, like webinars, podcasts, like you guys are pretty much everywhere.
And when, you know, we really care about more people knowing about, you know, and just making, we make sure all of that is, you know, free and accessible as possible to who we have today, because it's just,
is that part of who you guys are?
Really care that people we just use everyday language and that we take away a lot of the kind of fear and also the whakamā people have around money, like how can we just help people like feel more confident and have access to this information, and you know, they can see others that are investing and go, oh, I can do that, you know, and know that it doesn't matter, you don't have to have heaps of money, and you can, you know, or you can, and you can use Sharesies. Like, it's just like there's this whole, there's still so much work to do in that space, and I you know, I love what Bank is doing in schools, and we'll do whatever we can too to help anyone learn more about it or feel
you
more
guys
confident.
Have made it super relatable.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like,
it
doesn't matter how like age, like old you are, or young, like, hey, I can learn about this now.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really cool.
Yeah, cool, thank you.
So
a team put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. In terms of like shares themselves, for those who don't, what are shares?
Yeah, so shares essentially are parts of a company you can own.
So let's say I gave you $100.
Yeah.
You would, takes that money and gets me potentially a share of a company somewhere. Is that right?
Yeah. So you can go, hey, I want to buy a bit of Apple, a bit of Disney, you know, Main Freight, whatever it might be, Spark, Fonterra, whatever it might be. Well, not them. But you can invest. And and when you invest, when you invest in a company, like any company, you are exchanging your money to own a bit of that.
Okay.
And that's what, and you might own a full share, we might own part of one.
I see.
But
how does my money increase?
So your money can grow typically in two ways. So one is through that price of that share increasing.
Okay.
So say you bought it at $20 and it grows to $40, you know, you've made that capital, it's called a capital gain. Another way that you can make money through investing in shares is through dividends. So say a company makes profits, like you know, Spark or whoever, they make profit, they get more money in than what they spend to in any given year, and then they give you because you own part of that business, they then pay out your share of that profit as dividends. And so there's two ways you can make money.
Awesome. If I have some debt, should I be putting some of my money into shares?
It really depends on what type of debt it is, how much, kind of the interest rate involved, and then also your risk appetite.
Okay.
So some people go, I am so up for risk that I will borrow money to invest now. That's not something we don't do, like leveraged investing on Sharesies, but some people are just like, all go, you know?
Yep.
And that's, you know, typically not what any financial advisor would recommend often and things like that. And others are like so risk adverse, they don't even like having their student loan, which might, you know, have no interest.
Yep.
You know, that it's received, but they're just like, I just don't want any debt, you know, at all. And so they care about paying that off, and that helps them sleep better at night, you know. And it's like, actually, if you've got debt, it's really thinking about, where that kind of risk appetite is for you. And also, you're an advisor, you know, all this stuff. and also, like, what your growth aspirations are in the future. And I think, you know, because the more risk you take, the more likelihood of return, but also more likelihood of like that volatility where things can go up and down.
Yep.
So it's like, where do people land in that spectrum? So, yeah, it really does depend on what kind of debt.
Yep. Are shares risky? Like, because a lot of people would have a few hangovers from the 80s and 90s yeah. where all they hear is, oh, the share market crashed. Are they risky today?
So if you... Investing is really something for the long term. So you're wanting to... You're not really typically wanting to invest if you're trying to, you know, make money quick. It's just not typically the place where that happens. It's about time in the market, not like timing the market. Mm. So... if you looked at those, you know, crashes, and then if you look at, you know, where investing is now, and if you looked at that big time horizon, you know, nice. Like you can see even through that over time, the markets go, you know, have been trending upwards. So,
yeah, cool.
And that's, you know, when you take, but if you take a shorter period of time, it could have gone down, you know.
That's
so
right.
That's why time is really important. And that's actually the first lesson I learned at university was time is the most valuable aspect of money. And I was like, what? You know, and then I realized, yeah, it's about like actually your access to those returns over time and how the net money makes money and then just, yeah, the kind of growth of economies over time or companies. So kind of back to your question, what was I answering again?
Shares
risky. On Sharesies, you can see a risk profile of any of the investment options from 1 to 7. Yeah. So 7 means way more risky and 1 means less risk. So how that's determined is how often that share price has kind of moved around. If it's like, you know, like quite volatile, then it's like more on the risky side. But if it's, you know, like quite steady, then it's, you know, less it's on the lower risk side.
Yeah, cool.
And so... You can invest in like bonds, which are typically lower risk, and that could be essentially you're putting money into this thing, which is lending to governments or companies, and so you know, like it's a little bit more it's seen typically depending on what bond, but that it's lower risk than say investing in one company.
Cool.
You can invest in exchange traded funds too, which is say you can invest in the top 50 companies in New Zealand or the top 500 companies in the US on the...
Just grouped together.
Yeah, rather than an individual company, which means you have spread that risk a bit more too.
Cool.
So there's different ways that you can kind of assess that risk and you can see that a bit of a guide in Sharesies,
Great. We're currently in like a recession. Is it a good time to invest?
Again, it really depends on your personal situation, as you well and truly know. But as I said, investing is about time in the market, not timing the market. So if you're, you know, keen to get investing, and again, you don't need to, you can start with however much you want you can afford. You can check it out, really, and see if it's right for you. Yeah.
Cool. Personal finances.
Yeah.
As a CEO of Sharesies, do you have a budget, or do CEOs even co-CEOs even budget?
I have...
And who looks after that in your household?
Yeah, so this is a good question. It's changed over time. So I used to be on a daily budget where I would manage my money on a day. Like, and if I, you know, I'd have X amount I could spend each day, and if I didn't spend it all, I could save it up for the weekend or something if I wanted to do something with friends or something, or, you know, invest it or save it. And that was quite handy to get into, especially early on in Sharesies, we were earning no money or started to earn a little bit of money. Like, it was a way that we could manage that. And then I think from doing that and being so close to my daily spending habits, now I just have it in my brain. Like, I just kind of know.
Okay.
You know, like that habit, because we didn't have it's quite weird. Like, I kind of have this like little calculator in my brain now where it's just like I'm very aware of any tap, I guess.
Cool.
So it's kind of helpful. But yeah, no, we definitely have budgets and spreadsheets and all that sort of jazz.
cool.
And I'd say Layden is managing it a bit more at the moment. I'd say he's a bit closer on that right now.
And personally, what do you guys invest in?
Sharesies is a big one, but we do have, we do feel quite a sense of making sure we just need more money flowing here in New Zealand and more capital. So startups quite often, in a few like investment clubs now with other founders and just trying to like, you know, support more, startups, and then, you know, continually through Sharesies with AutoInvest. And,
yeah. What's AutoInvest?
So AutoInvest is this feature on Sharesies where you can put money away every payday into either a responsible order, which are a few like a few investment options that are a bit more socially responsible, or a global order, which is like a more globally diversified kind of investment options, or you could pick your own.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I just put money away kind of every payday into my auto,
Nice.
My AutoInvest.
And what do you like spending money on?
Well, because I liked fashion, I think that's kind of screwed me up a bit. But I really try and tame that impulse. Yeah. So I often shop in my friend's wardrobe, and so it's quite cool. So I've got friends who have to, you know, they are in fashion, have to wear the latest thing or whatever. So cool. And I don't, you know, I just like, you know, so I'll go shop in their wardrobes. And so that's quite fun. And I am now really getting into surfing, so you know, my next purchase I'm eyeing up is a surfboard. So
How much are they nowadays?
They're like, I'm looking, they're like $700 to $800.
That's what I was imagining.
So it's my birthday in a couple of weeks, so that's what I'm going
for. Are you good at surfing? How long have you been surfing for?
I've been surfing since late last year, so December. So really new. But I'm starting to hang out with the big kids and going way over my head, but I'm really enjoying it. Like, I'm in this kind of, it's such a beautiful community. Now I'm in this community of other mums that surf. And so we'll we'll hang at the beach or something with our kids, or we'll go out and like, we try time it around, you know, when they can get some time away. Cause I've, a lot of them have quite young, you know, younger kids. And, it's such a lovely community, and it's so nice to go out with them. And they're really great surfers, and I'm just like leveling up from just being around them.
Where do you surf?
Lyell Bay in Wellington.
Near the airport?
So now it's made going to the airport really fun, because like, you know, like, you're looking at the sets and, you know, flying over, taking photos. I'm like, watching surf flying. Exactly. Nice. There was good surf today, surf, but you know.
You're going to be, when you retire, is that you?
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? I really wanted to get into it to, because I want my, I think it's, I watched this movie and it was about how this woman got into surfing because of her mum. And I like had it, you know, I grew up on the beach and I was like kind of scared of sharks, you know, and I think it's, you know, seen a few when I was younger. And
Jaws.
And so I didn't want to have that fear in my children. I was like, how could I be that mum for my kids? Yeah. And so that's why I got into it, really.
Cool.
And now it's, you know, it's giving them way more exposure to the water and, you know, little nippers and boogie boarding and things. And yeah, I'm going to do get my daughter into a bit more too. So I'm really enjoying like seeing it as a skill we can learn together. And I know they're going to outdo me in 2 seconds. But
that's amazing. That's cool. So it's very cool.
Yeah.
Sharesies brought out KiwiSaver. What is next, and what's the kind of future goal for Sharesies?
Yeah, well, you know, we set out to create financial empowerment for everyone, and there's so much work to do in that space. We brought out KiwiSaver because, you know, KiwiSaver is where the majority of people's wealth is.
Yeah.
And people don't know where it is. Yeah. They don't feel they've got much control of it.
That's so true.
And also not much of it is flowing. That money, you know, even if it, you can't get it till you retire, it's still working. It's still working in the economy. And so how can we get more of that being invested back into Aotearoa and companies here? And, you know, and so that was something we really cared about. And so really proud that we've launched our KiwiSaver. And it's awesome. It's going really, really well. So next up is actually insurance, because as we've grown, we've learned, you know, we want it, so we've got investing, you can also save on Sharesies, and we make sure there's kind of no strings attached there, you can, you know, access it quickly, and then also KiwiSaver, but now we need to help people protect their wealth. And so the next thing out, maybe even today, if not later this week, next week, is insurance. And we're starting with car insurance. So a lot of people on Sharesies own cars. How can we support them so that, you know, if they have insurance, it means they don't have to be dipping into emergency savings, or, you know, like, and supporting them in terms of protecting, developing wealth in the long term.
Cool.
Yeah.
And finally, what does wealth look like to you?
Yeah, wealth actually is way more holistic than money to me. Health is wealth, and like maybe the most important one in some ways. Family, community is wealth, like in the relationships you have.
Yes.
But money, and back to what I started with, like does enable opportunities and does relieve a lot of health stress. If you feel like you've got your systems in place, 67% of millennials or so feel quite a lot of money stress, you know. And it's like, so I think that there's this real relationship where money does, or the access to money does have a play, and
yep.
I love to see more people have access to being able to develop wealth.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
And I hope in generations to come there's way more equity in that space. So, or even not, just sooner the better. Yeah. And so I think of wealth really holistically in terms of, health, relationships, and access to opportunities, really. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Brooke, thank you so much for coming on Fresh Money.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciated it.
No, it's been awesome hearing about Sharesies, and I just, wish you guys all the best in what you guys are creating and for the future of Sharesies as well.
Oh, thank you. Cool. Kia ora. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.